Log Talk Radio. Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020. With your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, thank you. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2021 with your host, Jason Brodsky. Let's get this going on the double here. First, from Smoke News Radio, we have Oklahoma High School. One second. We have Oklahoma High School. Oklahoma House approves expanding non-resident medical marijuana licenses. Written by Carmen Foreman. Next, on MJBizDaily.com, Michigan loosens eligibility requirements for recreational cannabis. Written by MJBizDaily. Word wrap. Michigan's recreational cannabis market will soon open up to new competition beginning March 1st, when applicants for multiple classes of adult-use marijuana licenses will no longer require an active MJ permit to be eligible. The state's marijuana regulatory agency, the MRA, reminded the industry of the licensing beginning Monday. Business entry into the adult use marijuana market will be more accessible for all Michiganders, as the requirement to hold a license on the medical side of the industry will be removed, quoted MRA Executive Director Andrew Brisbow in the release. The eligibility requirement is being removed for five license types: a marijuana retailer, marijuana processor, Class B marijuana grower, Class C marijuana grower, and marijuana secure transporter. The MRA said new license applications and instructions will be updated on its website on Monday, and previous versions of the applications will no longer be accepted. The agency originally announced the license eligibility change last October. At the time, the MRA said it would consider taking license applicants from any applicant if it determined that more licenses were needed to reduce the illicit marijuana market, meet demand for marijuana, or provide for reasonable access to marijuana in rural areas. The adult-use marijuana sales in Michigan began in December 2019. January adult-use sales totaled $67 million, according to the latest monthly MRA report. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we have OnCubaNews.com. Cuba, boat carrying almost a ton of marijuana captured. Written by the On Cuba staff. Cuban border guard troops captured a speedboat with three Bahamian crew members in waters off the eastern tip of the country, carrying around a ton of marijuana, the state media reported this Sunday. the international drug trafficking operation intended to pass the drug shipments through the narrow Windward Passage between the islands of Cuba and its neighboring Hispaniola and continue to the Bahamas, bound for the United States market, says the note published in the Cubana Debate website. It also points out that this is the second speedboat with drugs captured in that area of the country in recent months, and the fourth major marijuana trafficking operation, frustrated in the Windward Passage by Cuban authorities since May to date. During 2019, the Cuban customs authorities seized 21 kilos of drugs, a considerable decrease compared to the more than 60 kilos intercepted the previous year at air terminals. Predominating among the confiscated drugs were both liquid and solid cocaine, followed by marijuana, while the cases of detection of synthetic drugs such as cannabis oil increased. Cuba maintains that its anti-drug policy is one of zero tolerance for those who try to use its air or maritime space for the illegal drug trade. Drug trafficking is punishable by high sentences and even life imprisonment, and possession is also penalized, while consumers only receive fines and warnings as they are minimum doses for personal use. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. And next, from the Oklahoman.com, Oklahoma House approves expanding non-resident medical marijuana licenses. The Oklahoma House on Thursday approved extending the length of medical marijuana licenses granted to out-of-state residents. On a vote of 52-32, the House approved legislation to extend non-resident medical marijuana licenses from 30 days to 2 years. House Bill 2022 from Representative Scott Fitgatter and Okmulgee would also open non-resident medical marijuana licenses up to residents from all 50 states. Currently, only medical marijuana license holders from other states with medical marijuana programs are eligible for a non-resident license to buy, use, or grow medical marijuana in Oklahoma. It does not allow people in all 50 states to come to the state of Oklahoma for their medicinal needs, quoted. Medical marijuana licenses for Oklahoma residents last for 2 years, so HB 2022 would change non-resident licenses to match up. I'm trying to find who this person they're saying is the he. Whoever they're quoting quotes again, "There are patients out there that need longer opportunities, whether they have cancer or some other medical issue. So I felt it was necessary to just extend that out so they're not having to constantly renew that license." Oh, okay. Apologize. This is from Scott Fitgatcher, a representative. To qualify, a non-resident would have to get approval from an Oklahoma doctor and pay $200 for a license that would have to be approved by the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority. The House also approved House Bill 2023 to allow medical marijuana businesses to transfer their licenses in the event of a change of ownership. Representative Tommy Hardin expressed concerns that some medical marijuana companies could create a local monopolies by picking up numerous licenses from other marijuana businesses. And Fitgatter goes on to say, "We live in a free market world. Businesses change hands all the time. I don't know why all of a sudden it's just a concern about who may or may not come to purchase a marijuana business." Both bills will go to the state Senate for approval. House members struck down the emergency clauses attached to the bills, meaning the bills could not take effect immediately upon being signed by the governor. The House could vote again on the emergency provisions at a later date. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from the BangkokPost.com. In Thailand, 920 kilograms of ganja seized in Mekong Bank. In Nakhon Phanom, Border Patrol police seized 920 kilograms of dried marijuana smuggled across the Mekong River from Laos in this northeastern province in the small hours on Sunday. Police Lieutenant Colonel Thanapol Thanaunuhu, Deputy Commander of the Border Patrol Police Unit 23, said a BPP team was dispatched to an area near the Mekong River in Tambon Chai Buri of the Uthen District following a report of a large amount of drugs being smuggled across the border. At about 4 a.m., a large long tail boat was spotted arriving at the mouth of the Song Kram stream, a tributary of the Mekong. It was accompanied by a smaller boat. While the BPP team was moving in for a search, a group of men on the big boat jumped into the smaller boat and fled, leaving behind 23 sacks. The 23 sacks contained 920 packs of compressed marijuana, each weighing 1 kilogram. Police said during the past few months, more than 5 tons of marijuana and about 10 million methamphetamine pills have been seized after being smuggled across the border. Next on Smoke News Radio, we have from ABC.com, written by Sonu Wasu. Arizona sued over medical marijuana licensing practices. ABC 15 has learned that thousands of medical marijuana cardholders are still struggling to get access to the products. The marijuana business has been booming in Arizona, especially after the legalization of pot. While many Maricopa County dispensaries are expanding and hiring more staff, in some rural parts of Arizona, that is not the case. That is because dispensaries that once held licenses in these areas have closed up shop and moved to more populated communities. Several years later, the state has still not opened up the application process to allow prospective business owners to apply for licenses to establish new dispensaries in these communities. Ivan Riscio used medical marijuana oils and topicals for back and knee pain. What was once a 5-minute drive to the dispensary has now turned into an almost hour-long drive to Tucson to get his choice of medicine for his pain and discomfort. In other parts of Arizona, like La Paz, Greenlee, and Apache counties, cardholders were driving 2 to 3 hours to get to the closest dispensary. Mason Cave, a board member of the Arizona Cannabis Chamber of Commerce and prospective medical marijuana dispensary owner, says, "We are talking about veterans. We are talking about people with cancer, people with other disabilities, and they have to travel that far." Cave said he tried to submit applications to open up dispensaries in some of these rural communities at least 8 times in the last 2 to 3 years. Each time, the Arizona Department of Health Services staff refused to accept his applications, telling him they were not accepting any applications at the time. Cave said he had heard that line for more than 3 years now. That is why he decided to sue the state of Arizona for allegedly failing to follow what he called were their own rules for establishing medical marijuana dispensaries in Arizona. The ABC 15 Arizona also spoke to Cave's attorney, Logan Elia, with the Rose Law Group. Elia said the Department of Health Services has refused to accept our applications. They claim they have no obligation to do so. A recent decision by the Arizona Supreme Court suggests that they're entirely wrong about that and in fact do not have to accept those applications. He goes on to say that the Arizona State Supreme Court was very specific in a ruling made during the summer of 2020, stating that the state must go up the licensing process under two circumstances. First, if a country had no dispensary at all. Second, if the ratio was below 1 medical marijuana dispensary for every 10 traditional pharmacies in the area. Cave pointed out that all these communities had seen an increase in the number of CVS, Walgreens, and other traditional pharmacies, and the ratio was well below 10 to 1. Yet the state had still not opened up the application process to allow the medical marijuana dispensary to set up shop in these areas. The ABC 15 Action Karate News reached out to state health department officials and were told they cannot comment on a pending lawsuit in regard to when the state planned to start accepting applications for new dispensaries in the medical marijuana desert. A spokesman sent us this following statement. Quoted, "At this time, we have not opened a process to apply to open a dispensary in La Paz County. We have yet to schedule a process for allocation of new dispensary licenses. When we do, we will provide 60 days notice that the process is set to begin." All right, thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Action Karate Jason Brodsky. Next on CBS8.com, article, Coast Guard Navy sees $211 million of drugs in San Diego. The United States Coast Guard and Navy personnel in San Diego Monday offloaded more than 10 tons of drugs confiscated from ocean-going smugglers late last year. Crews aboard four military ships seized 11,400 pounds of cocaine and 9,000 pounds of marijuana, a haul that would have been worth more than $200 million on the market. In international waters of the Eastern Pacific Ocean between October and December, according to the USCG Public Affairs, Coast Guard Lieutenant Jonathan Dietrich goes on to say, when you are covering a small drug smuggling transit zone the size of the continental United States, every ship makes a difference. The seamless integration between our law enforcement detachment and the crew of the USS Gabrielle Giffords was a major reason why we were successful in interdicting such a large amount of drugs and preventing them from reaching our streets. The Coast Guard's narcotics interdiction efforts are aimed at thwarting transnational criminal organizations fueled by drug trafficking money and dependent on supply networks in Central and South America, according to the Maritime Security, Law Enforcement, and Search and Rescue Agency. Dun, dun, dun. That one is a month old, but it's good to know. And I read it a few weeks ago too. What's going down? There's not as much drug smuggling on boats as there used to be. Okay, here we go. Scraping the marijuana drug smuggling. Okay. SunTimes.com, written by Tom Scuba. Addressing troubled cannabis licensing rollout among states' key priorities. During Wednesday's Illinois State of State Budget Address, Governor J.B. Pritzker said passing legislation to create additional pot shop licenses is among the state's key priorities. Pritzker has made good on his campaign promise to fully legalize cannabis statewide, but the launch of Illinois' recreational marijuana program has been dodged by an ongoing licensing imbroglio. All the state's pending cannabis licenses have been delayed indefinitely following outcry and lawsuits from jilted social equity applicants who were supposed to get a leg up in the application process in an effort to diversify the state's white-dominated cannabis industry. State senators approved legislation during last month's lame duck session that aimed to resolve the issue by doubling the number of new dispensary licenses and creating a second lottery to determine the winners. But their counterparts in the House of Illinois failed to call it for a vote. On Wednesday, Pritzker signaled that accompanying that goal remains front of mind, and goes on to say, quote, "The to-do list is long, but it includes key priorities like finally authorizing overdue second cannabis licensing lottery and passing an energy bill that protects our nuclear fleet and builds up our wind and solar industries, protects the environment, puts consumers first, and supports jobs," Pritzker says. Social equity advocates who have teamed with the lawmakers to devise a legislative fix said they were encouraged by the governor's comments. Eddie Moore, the executive director of the Chicago chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, noted that her organization and other stakeholders, quote, "have been working very diligently for long hours along the industry to ensure this speedy resolution to the issue." And goes on to say, "We're glad it's a top priority for the governor. It certainly is for us," said Moore, who has partnered in two startups that are really qualified for the long-delayed lottery to determine the winners of the 75 pending dispensary licenses. Ricky Hendon, a former state senator whose application group fell short of the perfect scores needed to join the first lottery, and has criticized the governor on the issue, lauded Pritzker's recent comments on cannabis licensing. However, Hendon noted that members of his team are still taking a wait-and-see approach as the new legislation comes into focus and the state moves forward with a process that could expand the pool of applicants included in the initial lottery. And Pritzker says, "I just hope he don't break our hearts again in a few weeks when the final bills pass. I'd hate being made to look like a fool." Hendon touted a tentative plan for creating a second lottery that he helped devise with State Representative LaShawn Ford, who has also critical of the state's licensing efforts, it's still unclear what exactly will wind up being introduced, noted Ford, who has also been working on a sweeping legislative plan with Moore's organization, other social equity groups, and lawmakers. The proposal tentatively includes a planned bill that would create a second lottery to issue 75 additional dispensary permits to existing applicant groups that meet a lower scoring threshold that the perfect marks need to qualify for the first lottery. Other related proposals mentioned in a document obtained by the Sun-Times Karate Action News would increase the number of outstanding craft cultivation licenses from 40 to 60, use cannabis revenues to reimburse applicants affected by the ongoing licensing delays, and allow existing dispensaries to relocate, an issue that has previously upended negotiations in Springfield. Ford said the ultimate goal is to work with equity applicants and advocates to formulate an agreed plan. All right, thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from WNewsJ.com. Virginia lawmakers vote to legalize marijuana in 2024. In Richmond, Virginia, Virginia lawmakers gave final approval Saturday to a bill that will legalize marijuana for adult recreational use, but not until 2024, when retail sales of the drug would also begin. With a compromise bill clearing the House and Senate, Virginia becomes the first southern state to vote to legalize marijuana, joining 15 other states and the District of Columbia. The legislation now goes to Governor Ralph Northam, who supports legalization. The bill was a top priority, who framed legislation as a necessary step to end disparate treatment of people of color under current marijuana laws. But talks between the House and Senate grew tense in recent days, and a compromise version of the massive bill did not emerge publicly until late Saturday afternoon. It's been a lot of work here, but I would say that we're on the path to an equitable law allowing responsible adults to use cannabis, said Senator Adam Eben, the chief supporter of the Senate bill. Several senators said they hoped Northam would send the legislation back to them with amendments, including speeding up the date for legalization. Senator Jennifer McClellan says, if we have already made the decision that simple possession should be repealed, we could have done that today and ended the disproportionate fines on communities of color. And goes on to say, let's be absolutely clear. This bill is not legalization, and there are a lot of steps between here and legalization. Elena Yarmovsky, Northam's spokesman, said the governor looks forward to continuing to improve this legislation. Quote, there's still a lot of work ahead, but this bill will help to reinvest our communities and reduce inequities in our criminal justice system. Under the legislation, possession of up to 28.3 grams, an ounce of marijuana, will become legal beginning January 1st, 2024. At the same time, sales will begin and regulations will go into effect to control the marijuana marketplace in Virginia. Under a provision, senators insisted on legalization will include a reenactment clause that will require a second vote from the General Assembly next year, but only on the regulatory framework and criminal penalties for several offenses, including underage use and public consumption of marijuana. A second vote will not be required on legalization. The Senate had sought to legalize simple possession this year to immediately end punishments for people with small amounts of marijuana. But House senators argued that legalization without a legal market for marijuana could promote the growth of an illegal market. Lawmakers last year decriminalized marijuana, making simple possession a civil penalty that can be punished by a fine of no more than $25. House Majority Leader Sharnell Herring said that while the legislation isn't perfect, it was a justice bill. And Herring says this moves us in a direction to strike down and to address those institutional barriers and over-policing, over-arrests, and over-convictions of African Americans who do not use marijuana at a higher rate than the Anglo counterparts. But we seem to get the brunt of criminal convictions, Herring said. A recent study by the Legislators Research and Watchdog Agency found that from 2010 to 2019, the average arrest rate of African American individuals for marijuana possession was 3.5 times higher than the arrest rate for Anglo individuals. The study also found that African American people were convicted at a rate 3.9 times higher than Anglo American people. The bill calls for dedicating 30% of marijuana tax revenue after program costs to a cannabis equity reinvestment fund. The money would be used to help communities that have been historically over-policed for marijuana crimes, with funds going towards scholarships, work development, and job placement services, and low or no interest loans for qualified cannabis businesses. Virginians who have a marijuana-related conviction have family members with a conviction or live in an area that is economically distressed could qualify as social equity applicants who would get preference for licenses to get into the marijuana marketplace as cultivars, wholesalers, processors, and retailers. The largest portion of the tax revenue from marijuana sales would go toward funding pre-K for at-risk kids. All right. The trying to keep these things socially correct. Color is not a spectrum of people. So I never use color as a way to describe a human being. Okay, or their hat that they wear. All right, next from NJ.com, or their party's hat. We're all on the same team, fools. Next from NJ.com. New Jersey can resume issuing new medical marijuana licenses after a court ruling settles lawsuit. Written by Amanda Hoover, read to you by Jason Isaac Hofrodsky. The state can resume its review of nearly 100. The New Jersey state can resume its review of nearly 150 medical marijuana license applications that have sat untouched for more than a year, thanks to a ruling from a state appellate court Thursday. The court ruled against all but one medical marijuana license applicant rejected by the Department of Health in 2019. It upheld the department's denial of seven other applications. The case, which consolidated eight applicants rejected in an initial review, halted the expansion of New Jersey's strained medical marijuana program, all in late 2019. And during this time, the court granted a stay in the process. Now, with the stay lifted, the health department can reopen its review of 146 applications the state put on hold and resume the process of issuing as many as 24 new licenses. No matter the ruling, these paused applicants were always going to see victory in the decision that gets the process restarted and inches closer to attaining a license. The new licenses will not only ease burdens to medical marijuana in the state's 100,000 registered patients, but also set New Jersey up for the 21st and older marijuana market, the 21 and older marijuana market. Medically licensed facilities are slated to get the first shot at selling to the public. But they will likely take months to a year to open any. But the court decision. Oh. Okay, after the health department makes final decision, the applicants sued in late 2019 and claimed the health department wrongly rejected them during a first round of cuts because the reviewers could not open corrupt Adobe Acrobat PDF files. But the court decision noted applicants were given clear instructions about deadlines and that the department even held a webinar to help them prepare for the submission. Others sued over the denials based on a lack of approval to operate in the town and argued that the letters they submitted did constitute approval in its decision published Thursday. The appellate court sided only with ZY Labs, which included three letters of support from prominent Hillside community members, but not a letter directly from the municipality. The court remanded the application to the health department for future consideration after saying the letters constituted community approval under the department guidance. Lee Vartoon, the attorney that represented the client, goes on to say this was a significant victory for ZY Labs and is confident in the strength of its application and looks forward to being awarded a license to cultivate medical marijuana in the central region. And then Joshua Buchner, an attorney who represented several of the appellants, said in statement, "We are disappointed in the court's decision as it is anachronistically," who uses that word, "replied on an agency investigation occurred after the disqualification decision. Confirming the decision itself was baseless. Nevertheless, we remain hopeful that the state health department will finally adhere to its mandate to serve New Jersey's ever-growing medical marijuana patient population without further delay." And another attorney in the case, Craig Provorne, who didn't use $200 words, said the health department conducted an insufficient investigation into the technical problem and maintains his client was wrongfully rejected. And quotes, "Community Wellness of New Jersey is very disappointed in the decision. Is a 100% minority-owned business. That is the type of operation you would think the state would like to participate in this program. We believe the appellate division ignored the facts about the system crashing and other mismanagement on behalf of the Department of Health." A spokesperson for the health department declined to comment for this story. It's not the first time the health department has faced legal challenges to its licensing process. Another group rejected applications sued over a 2018 licensing round, arguing the scoring methods for selecting six license winners lacked a clear methodology. A court ruled in November that the health department must change its unreasonable system for awarding licenses and offer more transparency going forward. But this ruling largely favors the health department's review process. Bill Caruso, an attorney and managing director for Archer Public Affairs and a founding member of New Jersey United for Marijuana Reform, hailed the decision as a win for the health department and said it helps to clarify rules for future rounds of licensing. And quotes, "I think this is a great win for the state. It upholds the state's review and regulatory requirements that have put in place, therefore breaking gridlock. Thank you. Next on Smoke News Radio. Let's see. From theprovidencejournal.com, Rhode Island seeks bidders to run a lottery to decide who operates the 6 new medical marijuana dispensaries. In Providence, Rhode Island is looking for an experienced person or a firm to create and run a lottery in May to decide who operates 6 proposed new medical marijuana dispensaries. On Friday, the state posted online a request for proposals to, quote, design and develop the methodology for random selection process, quote, that would be held in public around May 14th. Quoted, the firm or individual will be responsible for securing all equipment, technology, or other necessary mediums to run the process. Lotteries have been used in other jurisdictions around the country to decide who wins the often lucrative licenses, but the practice hasn't been universally endorsed here. Several local marijuana business owners have said operating licenses should be based on merit, with those companies with proven track records better positioned to run new dispensaries than newcomers. But Governor Gina Raimondo has said she wanted a lottery to avoid political favoritism entering the selection process. In December, 28 marijuana companies, many with the marijuana growing affiliations in other states, submitted applications in hopes of qualifying for the lottery and then winning a license to run one of the new regional dispensaries. Raimondo and her administration pushed for more dispensaries to meet the skyrocketing use of medical marijuana and to spread them out around the state to improve access and price competition. The state currently has 3 dispensaries in Providence, Warwick, and Portsmouth, which have been allowed to grow their own marijuana since they opened in 2013 and 2014. The new dispensaries were proposed as retail stores only, though regulations include the possibility of the provision changing if regulators determined there is a need, and perhaps if the General Assembly approves recreational use of marijuana. If and until then, the new dispensaries would be supplied by the state's roughly 60 licensed marijuana cultivars who already grow marijuana for the existing medical-only dispensaries. Bidders to run the lottery must show their experience developing and administering similar random selection drawings and provide 3 references. They cannot have any affiliations with existing dispensary businesses. Bids for the lottery work are scheduled to be opened on March 24th. All according to Friday's RFP the Department of Business Regulation, specifically its Office of Cannabis Regulation, is still reviewing the qualifications of dispensary applicants to enter the lottery. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. I've got some titles of some 7-minute articles I can't jump in from the STLtoday.com. Two Missouri medical marijuana applicants win licenses after lengthy legal fight. It's Jefferson City, Missouri's Administrative Hearing Commission awarded two applicants licenses to start growing medical marijuana more than a year after the state officials initially rejected their request. And then another article, gotta jump through, from CBC.ca in Canada, United States authorities seize Florida-bound convoy allegedly smuggling 270 kilograms of Canadian marijuana. This was written by Jorge Barrera, 8-minute article. I got the first paragraph or two for you. United States authorities recently intercepted a convoy of late model pickup trucks pulling trailers in New York State with more than 270 kilograms of Canadian-grown marijuana headed for Florida, the United States court documents allege. A member of Akesane, which straddles the Canadian-U.S. border, was charged in connection with the United States Drug Enforcement Administration operation targeting a convoy of pickup trucks. Alright, part of a multi-agency operation. Wow, 120 kilometers southwest of Montreal. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to Smoke News Radio. Again, your host, Jason Brodsky, on the mic here. We've got hopefully some good articles, just looking up marijuana licenses and marijuana boats, because a lot of marijuana shows up on boats here in the world. So pay attention to what's happening out the world. Do a little marijuana searching out there. See what's happening in the hemp world. Thank you very much for listening, and I have Jack Johnson to read you the rest of the news. Thank you. Have a beautiful day.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried.
90 seconds.
It's just make believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullaby on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it would be all right?
60 seconds.
To put the music behind the news tonight. Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight. On the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. The mama said, why don't the news
cry
when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. But Mama said, yes, you.
Thank